Representative Paul Tonko, I know you've spoken to WAMC on this, but there was the shooting of Representative Scalise, a Republican. Has the tone in D.C. really changed as a result of that?
Well, there's a lot of concern that the harshness, the division that prevails in not only the politics in Washington, but in some ways across the country, is not helpful. We need dialogue. We need civility. And I think people are concerned about, you know, there was a numbness that came that day with those shootings, and whether it was someone who had a troubled mind, was mentally ill or whatever, or if it's the harshness of politics, whatever, there's a call for civility here. And I'm hoping that people will learn from that. Very disturbing that people will target political persuasion now and take it to such extreme measures. There's a lot of unfinished business, and there's a need for us to come to the table and discuss and build and create the consensus that will move us forward. But the harshness that's out there at times sets a tone that is unacceptable.
Now,
and actually counterproductive.
Now, Paul Tonko, let me ask you this. Those of us who have kids remember when they were very young and they would say, but Daddy, he hit me first. I'm sorry. I think there's such hypocrisy of the Republicans who have set the standard of meanness and venality and the rest of it in Washington to be now saying this is a result of, you know, of almost false equivalency, everybody being mean to each other. No, they were the mean ones.
Well, I think there was no denying that there was a heavy-duty attack on the former president. I think that everywhere you turn, there were people that would go beyond the issues and, you know, speak to an order of dissension and, if not hate.
You mean this president?
No, with the former president.
Oh, the former president.
And, you know, I think what value he brought to the table was that he always rose above it. You know, he had broken the ceiling, you know, by being the first president of color. And I think any harshness that was directed at him, certain orders of harshness, he rose above that and focused on those issues that unite us rather than divide us. I think he was the right temperament for that transitioning, that first that we were establishing in our presidential lineup. But, you know, I think this has to turn back to substance. It's very difficult to legislate personal behavior. So I've tried my best to reach out to members that in a way can build my relationship with them. And I think it's all about relationship building. I'm on the Energy and Commerce Committee. I've made it my goal to reach out to individual Republicans on that committee. And just the two of us go to dinner, no staff, no two or three lined up against one, one-on-one, you know, what's your district about? What are your goals? What are your concerns? And, you know, just build that human dynamic.
Who pays?
Dutch Street. Or at times, you know, one of us might. But, you know, then we say, okay, I get you the next time. But the point of the matter is sitting down over a meal and, you know, no quotable quotes, no, you know, floodlights, just human interaction.
Yeah, but Paul Tonko, I don't get that because, you know, these people are really out for blood. I mean, when you take health care away from 26 million people, you are basically killing people. Mm-hmm. I mean, sorry, but that's what it is. So you can say, oh, well, one of our guys got shot. It's terrible. We all agree it's terrible. Nevertheless, 26 million people aren't going to have health care.
Yeah, see, the compassionate part of the process needs to be there. And, you know, that doesn't excuse what had happened or rationalize it. It does speak to the immense amount of concern and anger that this obviously troubled mind was coping with. And again, not excusing the act. It was cowardly and it was indefensible. But you're right, when you take health care away from 23 million people, when you reduce Medicaid by, you know, a huge amount, you know, within the billions, the hundreds of billions, people are going to go without, and that's hurtful. And I think we need to find a way to be a compassionate society and to do things in a way that I think brings us together and heals us. I think true leaders accomplish that. They direct that. They bring people together. They don't divide.
Now, when these Republicans, Paul Tucker, when these Republicans eat dinner with you, what do you learn from them? Do you learn that they're frustrated, but they can't say anything with the president?
Well, I think there's, you know, there's a whole lot of effort being made by, you know, these groups that score bills and want a certain outcome, a reduction of government, federal government. They want to pass things on to the state or just reduce government in general. And so even if you, you know, that's the challenge here. Even as you build that human dynamic, that relationship, there's still this risk that looms overhead that said, look, if you link up with one of these folks that see it okay to invest in a government program, we're going to score that bill, and then you're going to be targeted, and we're going to run a primary against you.
Sure.
And with deep pockets of funding. That can't help but affect the dynamic there.
So is it possible that they know what's right, and they say, the hell with what's right, I got to get reelected?
Well, that looms heavy in the thought process, and you know, oftentimes they'll express that you know, that's something they have to deal with, because they can't go it without raising a lot of money. They can't go forward without raising a lot of money to be able to save that seat and be able to stay there. But some of these people tell me, look, I got elected as a conservative, a right winger, and now I'm not right enough.
So, and good, I'm glad for them, because they deserve that. So I'm going to ask you this. I've asked you in the past, you know, will the party win the House of Representatives? So this is what I call an honesty question. You know, if you don't tell me what you're really thinking, you know, a lightning bolt comes out of the sky. You know, and hits you. Yeah. So here's my question. Can you take the House in 2018?
Absolutely. I think what I'm hearing...
I hear a little thunder. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I saw no lightning, though. I think that what I'm hearing is a lot of people walking away from their traditional support and guided by the fact that, as one person told me just recently, it used to be about jobs. The talk was in our community was about jobs. Now it's about not giving us our health care, wanting to take it away from us. That's become the priority discussion. And that tells me that, you know, this has been full-blown on display. I mean, everybody was covering this, that, you know, when CBO scored the repeal replacement bill, the AHCA, the conclusion was that, you know, many people would lose their health care coverage and that it would grow a deficit at the same time. So what you have here is 23, 24 million people, and to the point that the president called it mean.
The president who also said in the Rose Garden it was a wonderful bill.
Yeah, well, that dynamic, that optic was not...
We call that...
I think a lot of people saw a lot into that optic, celebrating after taking away tens of millions of people's health care.
Nothing means anything to the guy. He says, that was a wonderful bill, but now it's a mean bill. He leaves the guys who voted for him, like Congressman Faso and Congressman Stefanik, floating out there because they gave him their vote, and now he says they were mean.
Well, it is. I think it's easy to cast something as mean when it takes 23 million people and tells them you're not worth the health care.
You're too kind. Our wonderful friend Paul Tonko, who is in New York's 20th district, in office since 2009, and a great guy. Thank you, Paul, for being here.
My pleasure.
When we come back, I'm going to sing a little birthday song for you.